I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't raise trade just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
Hello, everybody. Hope we are doing well in a post-bye round 14. As you can see, I've got my co-host in an unfamiliar location with unfamiliar sound tonight, so it will be not as pristine as usual. However, he is still here in all his glory, SC Adrianosaurus, off the back of a... Man, I honestly thought you and I were prepped for a good round 13. We both saw green arrows, but not as big as what we would have thought.
Yeah, well, that's right. I hope you can hear me. Okay, sorry, guys. I'm out for work on a bit of a work trip, but I love you all, so that's why I'm here. I didn't have a single ton in my scores, which is kind of rare. The one that really stung me was in my original trade plans that I talked to on the show last week. I was going to get Marju, and that really stings because I decided against it and thought I'd hold Harry Grant. I think he's going to probably back up after Origin, and it burnt the shit out of me, didn't it? Because that could have been over 1,000, and I probably would have saw better arrows. So, yeah, I was a bit down, actually. I was like, what's the point of bloody planning? I didn't even get 1,000 points. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, we both still saw green arrows, which, you know, you can't complain about. I'm up into 1,280. You're up into 3,267. So still cruising along.
Yep.
This week will be crucial for us, as you know, many backup team lists didn't throw a huge spanner in the works. There are a couple that have rested, are a couple that, you know, are unsure. However, we will, you know, touch on them in today's episode. But yeah, from a round 13 standpoint, I'm not too upset. I was never really looking at Greg Marzio. I was never really looking at Asako just yet. So I can't beat myself up by those guys too much. I was tempted to run the gauntlet with the captaincy on AJ, but decided to loop Dylan Brown. So overall, cannot complain too much. But let's head into the week that was. The Warriors get a couple of big inclusions back into their squad with Wade Egan, Dylan Walker, and Mitch Barnett all back in for them, which is going to be huge, considering, you know, they have been down on troops in recent weeks. In one of the most Bush League moves of all, in all time, look, I understand why they've done it, but it's weird in a professional sport to see Jared Croker rested for his, 300th game to be back at GAO. Unfortunately,
I'm a Raiders fan here, so I've got my tickets booked. I've got my my tickets to the game, the expensive seats as well. I'm going to be there in the most enormous Viking clap you've ever seen.
Oh, it'd be huge! For Tuts.
Yeah, the other thing is too, like, yeah, it is obviously strategic, so you can do it at home, and a lot of people disagree on whether that is. But he's no young rooster, is he? He's a fucking old. He nearly had to retire because he's so. Got so many chronic injuries. So I'm sure there was probably a rest coming over the next couple of games for him anyway. So who cares? I mean, if they rest, if the other teams, rest someone in the final round getting ready for finals or whatever, but so coaches can do whatever they bloody want.
Also, it is a pretty good game to rest him in this week against the Tigers because you don't want to have Jared Croker's 300th game end in a loss. So, pretty.
Well, we should put a wager on it, shouldn't we?
I am not confident. I am absolutely not confident. But yeah, look, really good.
I mean, look, resting Croker might actually get him up and about. They might just be like, oh, righto.
Yeah, if you underestimate us. It's the same as when the Panthers, rested half the team against us last year during Origin and we got the win. So, but no, look, really happy for Toots. Really pissed off that he was done at about 60 points in updates last week. Don't get me started.
I was just like, what the hell is this lottery with the scoring sometimes? Because, I mean, that's right. And you look at that one, that's when I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, the Tass one's more questionable, but he gets the, so that's it. I just think the scorers, they're watching two sort of very similar things and seeing them completely different. I know there's a lot of grey areas where, like, if a Cody loops or if the fullback joins the line, create an extra man and stuff. But if Mills one was, I thought that Croker deserved.
Yeah, look, I'd be happy if Croker didn't get both of his assists, if he got one, because there was a play where, you know, there was a sweep in the first try assist. But the ones where they just sort of went through the hands, I thought Croker, you know, would have got enough on that. However, not to be. Coming out of the Titans, Kieran Foran is out until round 17 with Jaden Campbell moving into the halves. Kieran Foran's been dealing with a patella injury, so basically he can't walk after games. So no wonder the bloke needs a rest. For the Bunnies,
it's pretty funny. He's going to have he'll be definitely a running 5'8", won't he? Because I don't think I've ever seen him pass.
Jaden Campbell, yes, which, you know, could be cause for concern to David Fifita. So yeah, watch out for that one. For the Bunnies, Campbell Graham is back after his mystery injury, just classic New South Wales behaviour, just not wanting to play. Classic.
Get out of there. Get out of it.
Grubb Reynolds is back on the bench. He's been recalled for the Dogs, so Grubb's back on the bench. Sam Walker is behind schedule, Ado. Apparently, he's 2 or 3 weeks behind schedule with his ACL sprain. Yep. So that sees Joey Manu get some more life in the centres, and then probably come round 16, round 19, you'll see him play fullback, which will be really good for his Supercoach prospects, so you get a little bit more value out of him moving forward, and it just gives us some more time. So obviously we know Manu scores better at 6 and 1 compared to in the centres. He's still an elite, you know, Supercoach option in the centres, but it probably gives the Roosters more time. It gives the Roosters more time to click as well, because when they do eventually click, Manu probably would see out his longevity at 1 and 6, and hopefully we get them back in form of him at centre. CS Talakai is back after his neck injury. That says Connor Tracy dropped to the bench. I do wonder what's happening with these to Parramatta rumours for Connor Tracy. I wonder if it is
The Reds losing White, and the first person I'd be calling is this bloody bloke. He's a dead set first grader and a half, isn't he? Like, he's better than a lot of the halves in the competition, in my opinion. So if he does go, that's a great pickup, and I'm just angry as a Raiders fan that we're losing
Connor Tracy could definitely do a job. You've got Jeremiah Nenai, he returns, which is not good for your Helam Lukey bet. Although he did play well on the weekend, but not as good as Hopgood.
Yeah, he did. No, well, that's right. I'm getting wrist-sold hard just because of all the bloody injuries.
Hopgood, he just keeps bouncing back on his feet. Like, whenever you think, his minutes are going to come down, someone else just gets injured.
I know. They're just having an injury crisis, and it's all just Hopgood.
You feel bad for Parramatta.
They're letting Luciano back in, and then automatically from that week, I was just like conceded that I was losing the bet.
Yeah, you feel bad for Parramatta because they have had that middle crisis, and they bring Joe Offahengawi back into the fold, and they're injured within the first 10 minutes. Jack Bird also out for 2 weeks, Ado, so he is looking like that knee is being a bit of a complaint for him. The NRL physio on his Patreon put out that it's probably expected to be longer and expect performance to be sort of down. So if you do have Jack Bird, I would definitely be moving him on. But yeah, that's sort of the teamless Tuesday. There wasn't a huge amount. I mean, some Origin stars have been named on the extended bench. Some Origin stars have been named to start. It's something that you're going to have to play
by. I think
the key
things were there. I mean, a lot of us probably had Gilbert and a lot of people had the Hammer. I don't know if you've moved them on, but Wayne's already—he hasn't even named him in the outer squad, so they're being rested.
Valens Tavade, his value is fucking plummeting quickly. Any cash that he makes will go ASAP because he's that big score.
Brenko's due an injury soon. Brenko is due an injury. Not that I ever wish that on someone. I'd love Brenko to put 30 games together and have a great run of no injuries, but he just does tend to pick one up. You know, so that could be just.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he has the massive score in his first game, but as we know, the first game means sort of the least because it's the one that drops out of the average the quickest. Yeah. So, not great.
It's going to be one of those things that people are like, "What a shit move that was."
Yeah,
you know, going early on him.
What we learned in round 13, there wasn't a whole lot because it was a bye round. We sort of had expectations for. However, you see it all the time, every weekend, and I feel like last weekend exasperated it. Just remember that no one posts their bad scores, or very, very few people do post their bad scores.
I scored a 700.
No one posts that.
I just had a rough week.
No one posts it. Everyone posts the best.
I post, I'm not doing my podcast because I'm sad and upset about my score. So at least I post it.
But that's the thing. People genuinely just try and show the best of their Supercoach scores. So just remember, your worst week and someone's best week, especially in round 13, 16, and 19, they're not too far apart.
I'll tell you one other thing. We got some slight green arrows because we're probably on the minor side of a good score. But I know for a fact that you and I didn't see this as just a round 13. We're looking at the whole bye schedule, and I sort of look at it from 13 to 20.
Well, that's exactly.
I've got a long plan. I've got a marathon plan for the old byes and games after. So
the best assets to own last week were Knights assets and probably Eels assets. because they've had two of the best matchups, and they're the both the ones that are out this week. So you and I have okay numbers. You're a little bit lighter on numbers than me this week. However, I've got a full squad of three people. So not too bad. Workouts, who just played in the week gone by, and work out if you want to keep them or not, and then sort of start moving your deadwood on. Because I know a lot of people front-loaded for round 13, but now you need to start looking at 19 and 16. And more importantly, have a look at the numbers that you had in round 13. Out of those 13 that played, how many will you be keeping moving forward? And then have a rough plan. Like, I spent 3.5-4 hours actually planning for the next 8 weeks. I don't expect people to do that. But just write down on paper out of the 13 that played last week, all right, look, who are we looking at keeping? Maybe look at someone like a Corey Horsburgh, for example, and just be like, look, do we plan on keeping Horse, even if he does get picked for Origin? And then you could potentially look to
move. A lot of us have these guys, like, we've had Mo Ali sitting there. I had Couchman. He's not even picked in the bloody squad this week.
Hey, you got a fucking mad jump tryout of Couchman. How good was that?
I did so. Yeah, he's up to 333,000 now, but he's missed the team this week. So that's a bit of a pity because he's got a break even 24. But yeah, he's actually, I thought he looks better than Ben Murdoch. He was pretty good last week.
Ben was okay.
42. But yeah, I mean, I've got Willie Army still sitting there. It's like the worst calf injury in the world ever.
Yeah,
and Croker. So I've just had... I'll tell you what, I'm not going to want to walk under a ladder because that'll be the final straw. I'll die where something will fall on my head, an air conditioner or something. How unlucky am I?
Yeah, you and I are both desperate for Cleary to back up as well. We need that.
And I was going to do no trades this week, but I've got to probably just at least get to 17, you know?
Yeah.
So I've got a few options that I'm thinking of, but I'm light on. I only had 13 last week as well.
Yeah, wonderful. Let's have a look at buy, hold, and sell this week. Wrong soundbite, but that'll do. In the buy, holds, and sells, look, he's a pretty, pretty price, but he still continues to deliver week in, week out. I hate not owning him, and I'm probably not going to be able to own him for a very long time. And it's Jermaine Asako, which had to be, I would say, the most surprising candidate of this year.
Well, yeah, he looks to me like AJ. He's finishing these slashing tries. He seems like he's got a bit of extra toe on him. Slotting goals. He's always been a great goal kicker, but I was just sort of going, it might be a great financial move for you because he's a good GP and he's going to, make money. So well done to you, but it's going to fall over eventually. It's not. He's finishing tries, and a lot of them are due to his work as well. I mean, he's working well this year. He's in the vibe.
Yeah, I remember after round three, I was sort of just laughing. Because after round three, he was like one of the most purchased players. And I was just sort of laughing at everyone. I was like, oh my God, this is just typical early season people making trades that just chasing points. And
kind of always anticipate that it's going to bite them in the ass eventually. But all these people are doing is nailing it. They're beating us,
Yeah, 100%. And that was, I actually was on the SC Hub podcast last week with Clem Cassidy from the SC Playbook. And we were chatting about that. We were chatting about how a lot, I'm not going to say all because there have been some that have done well, but a lot of your Supercoach creators haven't started the season overly crash hot because a lot of us had very similar teams. A lot of us think the same. A lot of us had the same sort of outlook on players. There are a few that are absolutely flying. But a lot of us, weren't keen on some of these guys that have absolutely brained it. And the ones that did take the chance have absolutely, absolutely delivered. So well done to you if you had Jermaine Asako. The next person/persons on this list are two Sharks boys. One being Ronaldo Mulitalo at 703K. They have a really good buy structure. They do miss round 17. So that is something to keep in mind. And we have a question on round 17 later in this episode. However, they do have, they cover basically, they don't have another buy until round 17. And then after that, they're done. So from 14 to 27, they play out apart from round 17. So you can chuck Ronaldo Mulitalo and Britton Nakora in there. Britton Nakora has been a top three Supercoach 2RF pretty much all season.
Started the year with him last year because I saw him in the trials and it friggin' burnt me then because I was like, this guy, what a mirage. But this is what I thought he was going to do last year. But, mate, he's running beautiful lines. Nico's an absolute bloody god in Supercoach and in life and in NRL. So, yeah, Nakora is very desirable, but he costs an absolute monster.
He does, but I do think he is a guy that you can pay up for because he probably will be a season keeper as well. So, yeah, absolutely, I think, should be in part of your plans. as I think should be Nick Meaney. Now, I am on the Meaney train. Another good buy coverage.
You got some Meaney?
I'm going to get some Meaney this week, probably. Look, doesn't have the greatest strength of schedule in terms of like overall matchups. However, goal-kicking fullback for the Storm, he gets to a bit of work. The Storm are still a good, potent attacking side. I still expect them to go okay. And Pappenhausen, I don't think Papp's going to be back.
Got a break even of 98, so you probably don't need to do it straight away.
But I think he's a
pretty decent matchup for him this week as well. If Munster and Grant back up,
yeah, 100%. And I don't know about you. I just don't think Papp's going to be back anytime soon.
Nah. I saw an interview where the prognosis is not better; it's worse. Yep. But also, I'm glad that they're actually going he's not coming back.
It's not like Meaney is some kind of New South Wales Cup player that's just filling in. Like, Meaney could be a starting quality fullback for a lot of the teams in the comp.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was saying, he's not going to be any Hines. I still don't think he is quite like the revelation that Hines was, but far out. These blokes that are filling in for injured fullbacks at Melbourne have made a very nice uptick in their salaries in the NRL because of it.
Yeah, no, he's looked really good. Obviously, having the goal kicking does help as well. So, yeah, pretty much. I'm happy with him. I know he has a 98 break even. I've sort of planned. It depends. It depends on your long term plans. For me, the price drop doesn't really matter for me too much. But overall, yeah, happy to pick him up. Moving into the sells, I do have Toots. Now, he did have a really good 64 in the weekend, as we've already discussed. Could have been a lot bigger, but he does miss this week. Probably, I wouldn't say he's maxed out in price because he does have that 65 he's averaged for a couple more weeks. However, you probably can get away with moving him up to a season keeper.
There at GIO, mate, for his 300th. I can't trade him. I've got to keep him there and play him.
It's that age-old question of, hey, if I'm going to a footy game, I need to have some kind of player in my team.
Well, it's the man of the hour. He's going there for his 300th.
I remember in 2021 COVID years. So I live in Newcastle, but very limited games I got to go to. But that was the Mitch Barnett year. And I think I held him longer than I should have just because I could go watch him kick goals every weekend.
We've all been waiting for years for Mitch Barnett to get permanent goal kicking.
Yeah, absolutely. Also got Isaiah Katoa as a sell. Looked done his job. Probably didn't need to hold him for round 13, but still he was fine. He's made some cash. Let's move him on. Not much more to say there. Couple more contentious ones. We'll get Val Holmes out of the way first. Named on the extendeds this week. I'm pretty sure he's named at 22. But also has the bye next week. And then round 16 he's going to be out with Origin. So really you're going to get... And we said this last week with Val Holmes. He was out last week, so you got one game out of the next month for him. I don't see him as a season-long keeper. I'm not too sure about you.
Yeah. Well, I moved him last week, so I think that was the most opportune time to do it. Just doing the maths on how many games he's going to have. And even just, he's had a good year, but maybe not, the huge, huge year that we thought he might have because the Cowboys suck. I'd move him on. I got him last week, rid of him.
The last trade out, Trell Mitt.
Trell Mitt.
Look, he's out for a couple of weeks.
There was rumours that he was going to even play, maybe. He could have. But everyone's like, oh, a couple of hours. Yeah, well, it's the same as the Campbell Graham thing. But, he's going to be out a week, you think, or more? You think more?
Well, yeah, and he'll come straight back into Origin, and then they have the bye in round 20. And then I'm not saying Latrell Mitchell should never come back into your side, but from round 20 to round 27, their draw is pretty mediocre, and they also miss round 26. Which is your head-to-head grand final week. So that is something to worth note as well.
Yeah, could you probably want to start shelving a few Rabbitohs players for the run home. Sure.
Absolutely. We haven't mentioned Jacob Carraz, who is the most purchased player this week. Now, I love a bit of Carraz. I mean, I owned him this year. I've owned 45,000 Bulldogs players this year. However, I have not been convinced with him coming back from injury. He hasn't done a whole lot. The base isn't there.
Well, he definitely looks like he'd been hampered by it, but obviously we've had a bit of a break there. He's averaging 62 for the year. He's quite affordable at 486. His break-even's 52, so you don't have to necessarily do it this week. I got him last week because that was the only one. I decided to hold Cary Grant, so I didn't have the money to do the moves that I wanted, and I had to get a Carraz instead of a Marju. Even though he wasn't playing last week. But I just hope he's better for the rest because he just seemed like he was hampered still by it. That extra week has got to obviously help him to be fitter because I think that's the only problem.
Yeah, I think it's 100%
fitness. But he still got over for a try.
Yeah, I mean, I just... he got over with a try, but I don't know. I'm just not liking what I'm seeing straight away. Plays the Roosters this week, plays Parramatta off the back of a bye next week, which is not great, and then plays the Sharks.
They've lost half their team, Para. Dogs for two in a row.
That'd be fine. Yeah, look, I'm not saying he's a bad buy. I'm just not seeing...
People are bringing him in because he's obviously of what he did at the start of the season, and you cannot say that he has looked like that player.
Yeah, the Karaz of rounds one to five. No, absolutely. Yep. I just want to see a bit more in base from him before I can sort of get behind the Karaz movement. Let's move into Captain's Challenge. Captain's Challenge. Ugh, mate, I've got a Psycho as a VC, just, you know, with the ceiling that he's got. Goal kicking, great base, attacking side. Pretty much, he's got to be in consideration, as is Cody Walker. Now, Cody Walker could have and should have gone for 100-plus last week, was dudded with that.
Oh, mate. That's the most elegant, dominating 70 or whatever he got, mate.
Yeah, I've never seen someone be so involved in the Supercoach game just to rack up 68.
Yeah, well, that's right, because you're putting these sublime passes that are probably the best passes in the game, and he's getting nothing for it. You're just like, Cody's laid on all these bloody tries, and if, as far as Supercoach sees it, all these setters are getting it, and Cody did nothing. No, who assisted the try?
Yeah.
I was so angry about it last year, just the way they've changed the interpretation to these catch and passes. And Cody was the best player on the field, I reckon.
Absolutely. I also think that. I'm not the biggest Cody Walker fan, but putting bias aside, he was absolutely sensational last week. I'm very happy that I brought him in, despite the 68. You know, it could have been a whole lot more, and hopefully it is this week. Nico Hines, you don't expect him to play big minutes from Origin, so I would basically say he's a 99% chance, barring injury, at backing up. And should be coming out pretty fresh. VC or C, if you want to go big balls play and just captain him, definitely worth a shout. As is Teddy. I mean, Teddy always post Origin. We know he just goes to another level, so he's got to be in with a consideration, as does Joey Manu. I've decided to chuck my boy Nick Meaney in for a vice captaincy shout. You can pair him up with a Cam Munster, whether you want to put the blue or orange armband on him. And no captaincy list is complete without the great man himself, Nathan Cleary. Be very interested to see how he goes.
It's going to be a chin for the win, I reckon, this week.
You reckon he backs up?
I reckon he's going to dominate Origin and be on such a high, they're just going to be like, go in and have some fun there with the Dragons, mate. Get in there, chin.
I really hope so. Otherwise, I might have to play Isaiah Katoa and I'll be fucked.
I've got Ben Murdoch Mastiller in my run on, and I've got, Harry Edwards there selected on the bench.
Harry Edwards is fine.
He was all right, but I mean, and Murdoch was still been all right too, really. So
let's talk about how we went last week, my friend. As we've already alluded to, I was sitting here from round 9 to round sort of 12, giving it the biggins, being like, oh, look, we're gonna fly the leaderboards. I ended up with a 947, which was good enough to go up a whopping 10 places. Now, that was after a fair bit of controversy. I got 1,000. I got 904. It fluctuated, but as the dust settled, I went up 10 spots. So I'm into 1280, which is still top 1%. However, you finished with a 927. We actually played each other in the Podmasters seeded one league.
Like I said, it wasn't a round of actual terrible stuff. Look, I went up 84 spots to 3,267. I had no tons, and that's such a rare thing, I reckon, in your team, and that's why I was sporting over the Marju. I had what was my lowest score in here last week? It was my lowest score was 42 from Ben Murdoch-Wasilla.
Yeah, I also had no tons. I had a top score of 99 from Big Red. And I had a low score of 42 from Murdoch Masilla. So it wasn't a bad week, but I didn't have any of those massive guys.
No. I mean, Cody finished on 68, mate. How the hell? Like, I should have been at least 9.
Hey, to give you a perspective, how good was Cody Walker to finish on a, what was it, a 68? And Jake Granville finished on a 58.
because the Supercoach scorers, someone is that hates fucking Cody Walker, I tell you, because they've just been bloody wrist-rolling him since last year. And Croker, they did him dirty, mate. Did him real dirty.
Look, I'm okay with him not getting both try assists. That's fine. But surely he should have had three. I was okay with two because he got the one for Tom Starling.
Yeah, he got one. Holy shit! You need to get two minimum there.
My heart was in my mouth, mate.
That's the thing. I go into this week and people are sending me lots and lots of questions going, sending videos going, how is this one different?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, don't message me. Yeah, I don't fucking, I don't know.
There's no pullback. Yeah, I'm just like, mate, they are not, they're like the referees, mate. They don't even know what they're doing. They are confusing themselves with their own interpretations.
Yeah.
You know? And for me, like, all I'm in chat groups with super coach personalities, and we're all talking about, oh, that's the try assist, blah. All of us are agreeing because we've played the game, you know, for a number of years. We obviously follow the rules as well, and we all of us are in agreement of who should get it.
Yeah,
you know?
No. That, look,
so I just think it's a lottery, but that's the thing. You've said it a lot about don't stress because everyone posts their good scores. There's no point complaining about it really because it is shit and it's a shit product at times with the consistency, but we're all getting it mostly because they get lots of things wrong. Sometimes it lands your way and other times it doesn't.
No, and it is what it is. Like, there's no point complaining, but like, yeah, I'll have a whinge in the moment, but
it's flawed for all of us. It's flawed for everyone.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. But I'll never complain with Jake Granville getting nearly 60 points. We do love to see that. But yeah, this week will definitely be a moving week. Let's move into, it's actually going to be a pretty quick episode today. Nothing major to talk about. So let's move into trade talk. I don't know what sound, but I'm going to use anymore. So for me this week, Ado, as per my little 8-week plan, nothing has thrown a massive spanner in the works for that just yet. So we're going to keep on track. We're going to keep with Tom Trbojevic out for Ronaldo Mulatalo. We're going to bring Big Ronnie in. And Val Holmes. We're going to bring Val Holmes out for Nick Meaney. Look, I have looked at bringing in Asako. If I can make the money work, I will. In terms of my long-term plan.
Tommy Turbo's got to break even at zero.
Yeah, but Tommy Turbo's also fucking... I don't know, man. Like, yeah, he looked great. And I just
fit, mate.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I mean, I saw him play against the Raiders, and he looked pretty bloody good then to me.
Looks pretty good, but they're going to be mine.
I'll tell you what, though. Because I'm going to do, like, get rid of some of my shit, like a Couchman or a Willy Army for a really shit piece. But obviously, I've got Gutho and Turbo. So I'm in agreement with you. I love a slice of Ronnie. I love it.
And if you don't have the money for Ronnie, I don't hate Siffer. If you want to just get a piece of that left edge and don't have the money for Ronaldo, I don't hate Siffer.
I don't hate Siffer like everyone else.
No,
does.
Neither do I. I always hear this. I always.
It was great for Supercoach, mate. It was one of the great moves a lot of people did.
It's
sometimes you hold on too long, you know. That's why everyone's worried about Khan Pereira and stuff because you're like, oh, mate, you can get a single digit so that it could go down quicker than it started.
It is funny how people look at that because, yeah, you speak to a lot of super coaches and they just can't stand Talakai as an option. But I was one of the very lucky ones last year that jumped on basically the week before the Morgan Harper game, and I jumped off like a week before the massive decline happened. So he's still in the good books for me, but I am on Ronnie. If I can make the moves work with Asako, I think if I have to look at my long-term plan, I think I've got the low budget of, say, 60K. So I'll look at the difference of the two of those, but pretty happy with Nick Meaney. However, yourself, mate, you're going a bit rogue. You're looking at one of my calls.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Heroes.
Granville.
Yes.
No, look, I've got some dead weight in there. I've got Mawali, but I think he's coming back soon. And
mate, I reckon him back is fucking more dead weight than him not being back.
Yeah, probably is. It's going to be an AE nightmare, but he's not worth any value. Couchman's being left out of the team. I don't know if that's going to be something. I mean, I'm sure he comes back in. I like the look of the kid, actually, personally. But he's worth 333, so I could get him to Granville, which I'm not going to do, let's be honest. Or I could get him down. I mean, Milne is dropped, isn't he? So Kenner's coming in. They're scoring
Big
a lot
Richie.
More tries to the right.
Big Dig Richie. Big Richie Kenner. With
Richie
Campbell
Kenner.
Graham back too.
Yeah. Well, Campbell Graham, he passes.
Yeah, yeah, he does. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and the ball will go down the right.
That kid's a footballer, mate. That kid's a dead set.
Who's a footy player, that kid?
yeah, so that was like, look, and for me, that's just to get me to 17 playable players, and I thought maybe Kenner can get on some joy and get a couple of tries. But I am tempted by the Turbo, even though he's got a break even to zero, to get a slice of Ronnie, because I reckon we're going to get some multiple try games out of Ronnie. And even then, he's averaging 70-plus this year. Ronnie's on.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Since we're going to finish up a little bit earlier tonight, I will put people that are listening on the live stream, we have a couple of questions from the Discord, but since we're going to be running short on time we're going to have a bit more time this week, put a couple of questions in the chat, Nato and I will answer them as we go. But however, the Discord questions always do get priority because they are a wonderful bunch of guys. We've had a couple come in since I sent you the podcast notes, Nato, so you'll have to think on your feet a little bit here. But the first one comes from...
I can do that, mate.
The first one comes from Second Solution, really good contributor to the show. Is bringing in some Sharks players like Ronaldo and Nicara a bad idea with them having a buy in round 17? And I did want to touch on round 17 because I am even with good planning, I am still pretty short in round 17. So I would, and that's why I do like Meany, because I think Meany does cover 17, whereas I don't think Asako does. Just off the top of my head, so that's a reason why I went Meany over Asako, just for that long term option.
Well, I mean, and the other thing too is it's not like our Eels players and, you know, even Manly players, because you've got Garricks and you've got Schusters and you've got Turbos. How many, Cronulla players has everyone got? I've got bloody Hines.
Yeah, see, I don't have Hines, but I'll only have one in Ronaldo, which isn't too bad. But yeah, look, I would just have a look.
I'm shocked actually that you don't own Hines. You sold him.
I did. Yeah, I did sell.
You love trading a good player, don't you? Love trading a good one.
I love trading a bad one. I'm definitely death riding Hines for a while, so yeah, that'll be very nervous. I'll either have some massive highs or some like a massive depressive lows, so that'll be fun. Tune into the podcast for the next 8 weeks.
I'm struggling with motivation too, I'll be honest with you, mate. I haven't recorded my podcast in 3 weeks basically.
Yeah, and that's and you're not doing bad, like, and that's the thing, like, it is.
No, look, you and I, like, that's all it is with me is I counted the other day and I had like 720 notifications just because I went out for the day.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. I just can't keep up with it.
I don't get a chance to read all my DMs. I'm very sorry to people that do message me.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with it.
But yeah, mid-season burnout is a real thing, but that's good. I mean, Supercoach is pretty fun at the moment still. The next question comes from AOSDs, and if I could answer this one truthfully, I reckon I'd win 50K, and so would we all. He asks, how do we balance out the fine line between too much trading and trying to keep ranks? That's the really tough thing. I think the way that you do it is minimal numbers. And what I mean by that is have enough to be competitive, say 12 or 13 for your buy rounds. You don't need 16, 17. You don't. Like, it's yeah, it, it
I,
might,
my
it
rule,
might net
my
you
rule
might,
is, if it's sticking out in front of you like your nose that you could save a trade and it's a bit of a luxury trade for the week, save it. That's the short answer. And some people just, I mean, look, I've gone into these buy rounds. Someone's outscored me last week with 10 players, you know?
Yes, I also lost.
I've lost head-to-head players with 9.
I lost my head-to-head in the Podmasters to a team with 10 and I had 13, so that was fun.
Yeah. So for me, yeah.
Quality over quantity.
You got to just sort of map out what trades you're going to need now to get your numbers right for the buys and the games following the buys, and then see how many you got for the run home. If you're in dire straits and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to potentially have to go for the last 7 rounds of no trades, I've got a heap of South players, you've not planned and set it up well. So yeah, it is. You've got to kind of look at a number of facets in it. One, do I need to trade it for an absolute necessity? Like this week, I was going to do no trades, but I've got 16 players, and Ben Murdoch-Basila, you know, is one of them. You know, so I need to get to 17 because, you know, I was pretty mild last week. I just can't fall much more behind. So that's answering the question. I don't want to go in with 16 this week, so I will be forced to trade. But if I had 18 or whatever this week, I'd hold off the luxury trades.
Yeah, absolutely. Velcro Wallet Guy, would you rather downgrade... Sorry. Would you rather downgrade a mid-range player to enough or to a 20 or 30-point bench player if it meant bringing a season keeper? Enough. 1,000%.
I'd enough because these players like your Mowalis and your Ben Myrtles, even like Couchman, they're just out of the team. They're in the team. They have a shit game. It's better to just have nothing there because you're like, oh, great. Well, I can still loop. That was a great move because that person's not going to cost me. And also, like, sometimes people grab these, you know, like a 280 or a 300 person, and then they get like the one below the one they wanted or whatever, you know. As long as you're not overdoing it on the nuffs and you haven't got like, I mean, Willie Army's been my nuff all year because he hasn't come back in. But I'm happy with one. because at least he's got a jewel on him. And yeah, if you're trying to make, if you can make a sexy move by nothing instead of a shitty 20 to 30 player, I'd just take the Nuff 100%.
Well, yeah, that was, I think back to when I did bring Granville in, and the only reason why I didn't Nuff is because I did look at round 13 and think Reuben Cotter would be out. But yeah, overall, I definitely would have taken enough over him. In the questions, I'm seeing a lot of questions for one Canberra Raiders player and one West Tigers player. How fitting. The Canberra Raiders player is Pamasuolo. What do we think?
Yeah.
250K, dual position, 2RF front row forward, played 52 minutes on the weekend, pumped out a 68 as well, which was, you know, handy.
Yeah, well, with Joe Tappany at lock, you know, Hudson Young's obviously going to come back into the second row. How long's Elliot Whitehead out for?
Another
6 weeks.
I
think it's 6 weeks.
Five or six weeks.
So, Papa, I mean, I think that's happening because we're short on second rowers and now CHN. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. I reckon, you know, Tappany or Horsbury did a good job on the edge. Maybe Tappany stays at fullback. And I think this actually looks like his best part of the year for Solo. People owned him earlier in the year and he was getting shit scores, but he's getting minutes now because they need him for minutes. And he's running punchily, I think. Well,
would you say people that don't have Horsburgh and are looking at bringing Horsburgh, just save the cash and get a Solo? I mean, he's 450K cheaper.
Yeah, he looks terrific. Yeah, that's the thing. If I had the money and I could afford Horsburgh without messing up my other plans, I'd probably grab him. But I think Solo, you know, look, we look at the Moalis and we, you know, we had...
Well, sorry. This Raiders bench is fucking putrid. You've got a hooker and Matt Frawley. So there's two middles on the bench and that's it.
Whenever Matt Frawley fills in, the Raiders win.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying for Supercoach, you've got Tom Stelling, who's a hooker, and Matt Frawley. You've got Atta Mariotta, who is not a big minute guy. I mean, Emre Gula should see some big minutes, but yeah.
I think he'll come on into the hooker position probably, or he'll go in. Yeah,
you reckon Starling might play a bit of loft?
Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to touch on Joe Tappany because a lot of plaudits did go to Josh Papali'i and Corey Horsburgh. Both those guys had exceptional games. But Joe Tappany, 68 minutes, 18 runs, 221 metres, which was a match high across both people.
Yeah.
99 post-contact metres, which was a match high. A tackle and an offload. 51 tackles with zero misses, which was a team high for him as well. Mm. So Joe Tappany, absolutely immense last week.
Everything he does is actually really high KPIs. He doesn't miss tackles. He always, you never see him get smashed.
Well, yeah, those 18 runs.
Three blokes in there, like, wrestling him to the ground. And he does even not go to ground a lot of the times as well. He's got, he's fucking...
Yeah, he's elite. Tough, he's strong. Elite. And, you mentioned the KPIs. Those 18 runs, I don't think any of them were just regulation, just, all right, we'll just get through this tackle. Like, he runs with vigor. He stands up in every tackle. And you saw it a couple of weeks ago when Junior Bolo tried to take him out with the knees. Like, that's what teams have to do. Like, you have to just try and take Tappany down because he's so strong in the tackle. Yeah, he should have
easily been best-looking player in the league. Yeah, to Hines and Reece Walsh.
He was immense.
He's so handsome.
A couple more questions on the Tigers player, which is Jonnie Bateman, former Raider, which is very fitting. Last couple of weeks, 88, 59, 53, 41, 77. I understand the appeal because he's probably bottomed out. I just... as good as the Tigers have been the last couple of weeks, they've been good defensively. I'm not sure how great offensively they're going to be. Like, if you're paying up...
Yeah, the 80 was with a try, his first try there in Tigers colours, so... I just don't know if it's as exciting.
He's a touch under 600K, and for guys in and around that price, I will just filter sort of buy price. I'll put it up to 650 and see where we're at, because I understand he's bottomed out.
You've got Crichton in there. I mean, he's on the bench, so that probably, you know, scares you off a little bit. Kalola Matangi is having a good year. He's got a 66 average. He's 622.
I mean, Tappany is 615. I don't mind a punt on Eli Katoa at 535.
Isaiah Papali'i is 561. He's cheaper.
Yeah, so I think...
He's not having a great year.
No,
really,
he's not. So, last comment before we wrap up today. It won't be an overly long episode. From Dom Corey, in the chat. How do you do your planning? Could you post something? more so just have a look at your team. And the way that I've done mine is just by mapping out my team, mapping out my trades, and mapping out how many plays I'm going to have each week. I don't know how you do yours, my friend. Let me know.
Yeah, I usually go and just write the round ahead. Write down my one next to my first player so I get a snapshot of who I've got numbers-wise. And then at the bottom of that, I have my proposed trade plan and what my final numbers of trades are going to be.
I will.
Then I go on to the next round and I get a snapshot of my numbers. You know, and who I'm looking to trade. Yeah, I do it like that.
For people watching the stream, you won't be able to get a visual about this if you're listening, but I'm just going to put my little spreadsheet over Adrian's head quickly. So if you're watching the stream, this is sort of how mine looks, and I just made this on Excel. So basically, yeah, you can see the trades I've got planned, the cash in hand. You can see the sort of moves that I've got and everything like that and how it sort of moves moving forward. So
if you can use Excel sheets, you know, it doesn't make the mistakes where you're like, shit, I'm $600 short.
Yeah.
It works it out for you. And you can go in and edit it because, you know, we all know that the best play, Ricky says, oh, no, Jared's going to play it in GIO for costing Adrian another couple of thousand because obviously I've got to take the missus as well. She loves the old expensive seats and the trip to Canberra and the nice hotels and all. They've got a hotel down there where you can sleep in a zoo, like it's your rooms have got like cheetahs, a window like
fuck
with cheetahs
that.
There in your room,
fuck.
And you can go on in tree houses
fuck
where you
that
the
right
room.
Off. No, thank you. Let's finish.
Oh, it's great.
Let's finish up with tips for the week, and we'll get on for this week. We'll let you continue your work trip. As for tips, mate, if we take off your two bonus points for tipping the round a couple of weeks ago, we are 4 points different. Last week you got 3 out of 5. I got 3 out of 5 as well. You're sitting on 62 correct tips. I'm sitting on 58. So, still pretty close, still a lot to play for. This week, we have I don't think we have a full run. I think it's 7 games. The Tigers up against the Raiders, I think it's at Campbelltown, which I think will be a really good game.
Yeah, I think it will be, actually. Look, the Tigers are, you know, they're on the grow. The Raiders, you know, Chris is looked pretty injured last week, but he's been named. We've lost a couple of back rowers, and while Horsburgh filled in terrifically, you know, I think that... you know, up against these IPAPs and John Batemans, he'll probably have a huge game this week. Not the worst buy, probably, because he'll want to be in great form. Yeah, I don't love the bench either from the Raiders. And I think also because, I mean, it is Jared Croker. How much can it fire you up? He's an old bloody man who didn't look like he was going to make it to 300. You know, it's not offensive. They're not being rude to you. Jared Croker, everyone was saying he shouldn't even be picked in the bloody team, you know, the non-Raiders fans. So...
disrespect.
I think I'm going to tip the Raiders.
Okay,
Raiders.
I'll go the Tigers just for the thing. And we have to put a margin in, so I just put 2 points.
Yeah,
All
right. Well, why don't we just put a little cheeky hundo on it?
All right, I'll bail you out of your Lukey bet. We'll do 100.
Well, I'll give you a 5 point start.
5 point start with 100. Yeah, I'll take a 5 point start. The Warriors up against the Dolphins, and this one's in, I think it's at Mount Smart. I want to say it isn't Mount Smart. It won't be going.
So they'll only get two streakers or whatever in there.
I was going to say it won't be going back to where it was last week for quite a number of years. I think.
What a bunch of losers! I love them. All you New Zealand lunatics out there, I love you.
Hey,
did you see? You're Aiders people. I love you.
Did you see that none of them will get charged because there's no streaking offence in New Zealand if you have clothes on. So if they were naked, they'd get charged, but because they had shorts and stuff on, they won't get any charges. Which I love that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I walked home once. I accidentally, you know, did a number two on all my clothes, accidentally on the beers and more. And I walked home with no bottoms on
Jesus
for like
Christ.
5Ks. Like no undies or pants.
Jesus
I just walked, and I left my wallet and house keys in my pants too, which I'd abandoned. But I just walked home with nothing on.
I hope it wasn't a cold night, mate.
You're just going to look like, you know, you're just going to look like cool. Like, you ain't doing nothing. It's just weird.
The Warriors up against the Dolphins. Who are we taking?
I'm going to tip the Waz in this. Gilbert and Hammer rested. I think they've been two of their, you know, most amazing players. That's why they got the Origin berth. So I'm going to tip the Warriors.
Yes, I will also tip the Waz as well. The Titans at home up against the Bunnies. I'm going to take the Bunnies.
Yeah, I'll take the Bunnies. Look, Latrell out, but Saf was, I thought he was okay last week.
Big game, this one. The Sharkies at home up against the Broncos. This is, I reckon this might be game of the round.
Yeah, it should be a really good one. You know, a lot of it hinges on whether, you know, Hines backs up.
With a Haas, Carrigan.
Yeah, I mean, Haas is going to have to play big minutes in that Origin. I mean, he'll probably just be like, no, I'm sweet as.
He will. I reckon Kane Haas is the kind of bloke that could play 80 minutes at Origin and then just back up and play 80 minutes at club level.
Yeah.
I generally think he's a fucking machine.
The bloke is an absolute. He's going to be the best front row we've ever seen, I'm sure of it.
I also agree.
But look, I want to take the Sharks in this one. Just because I'm sure if Nico's out, I'll probably just slide Connor Tracy in there, and I think he's been doing a really nice job.
I will be
Trindle. Is he injured?
I don't know. I'll be taking the Broncos. The Roosters up against the Dogs. I'm going to take the Roosters here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Roosters as well.
Cows up against Melbourne. I'm going to take the Melbourne Storm.
Yep, me too.
Last game of the round, the Penrith Panthers up against the Dragons. If I had to put a lock on the week, I'd be putting it on the Panthers.
Yeah, I think they, they've got a lot of their team in Origin, so the Dragons will have their fingers crossed that half of them get rested, and, you know, one of them's got a big chin, and one of them that gives a terrible, speech.
No, of course.
No halves.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Thanks very much for listening today. It was a bit of a scramble episode. Ado is not in his usual setup, and not a whole lot to talk about this week. Backing out of round 13, we don't really know a whole lot. If we knew that half the Origin players would be rested, we'd have much more to chat about. However, this week
we're all like looking at our teams now, going, "Oh, that's right. I've got 17."
Score prediction for tomorrow.
I'm gonna tip. It's in Adelaide, isn't it? Yeah, I'm gonna go. I reckon the Maroons are going to win. I reckon they've got a form team in there. Latrell's a big out, I reckon. And I just reckon Billy's a winner. He's going to get him up for this game. And I reckon, let's say, 14 to 10.
Oh, I got South Wales. 22-18 to Queensland. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm saying Queensland. I don't know. 14-10.
To Queensland. Absolutely. Good man. And clean sweep, we are hoping for. Thanks, guys, so much for watching the Dual Position Podcast, guys. I've been SC Whisperer, coach of the Ramsey Rehabs. Joined, as always, by SC Adrianosaurus. Back in our usual setups next week. But until then, good luck.
I don't have pants on now, either, as well. It's a great thing. You can see the top of my shoulders.
I need to start charging for this kind of content. Stay safe. Have fun.
Cheers, everyone. Have a good week.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.